Today, dating 1959. Jack Barber, coming home from a hard day at the office at 8:45, discovers three brand new prom dresses hanging in freshly pressed perfection from a rack near the ironing board. Betty is nodding over a pattern book.
Hi, Betty. The prom dresses look great.
Huh? Oh, was I asleep? Hi, Jack. Gee, you're late.
Not bad, 8:45. I say the dresses are beautiful. Brother, three daughters at the junior prom. I can't believe it.
Well, we'll have if they get dates.
Oh, no, I thought that was why you made the dresses.
No dates yet. And I know why, too. That's another thing about being a woman. You have to be prepared to go out, even if you sit at home. Oh, I forgot. You're to call Father Barber right away. Something about Pinky.
Oh, I'm tired, Daddy.
He'll be over. Would you rather talk to him on the phone or wait and let him come over here?
Oh, man.
Mom, did the phone ring?
Sharon, I'm phoning.
Hey, I saw the dresses, Sherry. They're wonderful. You gals are going to look great.
You'd better pray we'll find somebody to take us.
You don't mean to say three of the prettiest girls in high school have trouble getting dates.
Certainly. It's all on account of that darned old youth center.
Henry Barber speaking.
Father Barber, here's Jack. He's home now. Here you are.
Hey, Dad.
Have you heard from Pinky?
No. Anything wrong?
Can't find him. Paul says Pinky has been talking wildly about re-enlisting in the Navy. Good heavens, a married man.
Well, if you want to depress me, you're a big success.
Yes, sorry. If you hear from him, please let me know.
Okay, Dan. Don't mention Pinky to me. I don't want to talk about him.
I certainly wasn't going to. You want your slippers?
In a minute, I'll get them. What'd you start to say about the youth center?
Oh, well, it's finally dawned on me, Jack. That's what's ruined dating, youth centers. Oh, I know. The sociologists thought it up, and maybe they're needed. But even so, having youth centers makes it too easy for the boys. And anything that's too easy for the boys is bad for the girls.
Huh?
Now, why should a boy bother to make a date and meet a girl's parents when all he has to do is pop in at the youth center and find all the girls he wants? Little dressed-up girls going stag and waiting for him.
The whole world has changed, and she won't admit it.
Sharon, where is she?
I was coming downstairs.
Where are your sisters?
Well, the triplets are over at Grandfather's. The rest of us are studying. Sizzling and studying.
Someday you'll see I was right, Sharon.
Daddy, here's the situation. Mother, may I speak?
Go right ahead.
Mom has this old-fashioned idea a girl should sit around in pinafores and wait for the phone to ring. Or maybe young men in straw hats could come over and pull taffy.
Sharon.
Well, honestly, some of Mom's ideas are actually quaint. All over the country, there are youth centers. That's to keep the kids off the streets. It's kind of a cultural exchange. And lots of girls go there in groups. Okay, if the other girls are there, how can we compete at this distance?
You are bright, intelligent young women, and you'll find a way.
See, she gives us a handicap. And it's all because she saw a girl in a party dress ride up to the youth center on the back end of a motorcycle.
Sharon, motorcycle.
That's what I said. Just because a small percentage of goons ride around on the back end of a motorcycle and go to youth centers in blue jeans and bandanas, we're forced to stay home and just pray we can use our prom dresses if somebody happens to notice us on the bus or something.
Well, the prom's over a month off.
But plenty of other girls have dates already, but not us. All because we're protected.
No daughters of mine are going out at night in a city without an escort.
We'd go with other girls.
I don't like to see women hunting in packs.
I agree.
But, Daddy, you don't understand. Everybody's out there scrambling, and we have to operate like maiden ladies in the British Isles in 1880. It's like doing a high jump carrying a sack of sand. Let me tell you how it works. Well, you're jiggling around with some boy on the dance floor at a youth center, rock and roll maybe, and he's chewing gum, and you're doing switch hands or cross knees or something, and he says, how about the prom? You got a date, doll? And you say, nope. And he says, how about it, doll? And you say, okay, thanks, Joe. And he says, you're welcome, doll. Daddy, don't look so horrified. That's the way it's done.
I mean, God.
And for us to operate from home in the face of competition is just like pole vaulting with a pocket full of rocks. Oh, I'll get it. Probably Grandfather. He's got telephonitis tonight. Hello?
Hi, who's this?
This is Sharon. It's Jerry Beeson.
Uh-huh, you see?
Is Janie there?
Janie? Oh, yes, but she's studying.
Will it be okay if I drive over and see her a minute?
Well, sure, I guess so. I'll tell her.
Thanks. So long, doll.
He wants Janie.
See? Jerry Beeson, the big wheel.
Now, don't you worry. There'll be a nice one for you, too. Now, isn't this worth waiting for?
Oh, golly, yes. If one of us gets a date, she can wangle in the other two. Hey, Janie, big news. You got a boy by remote control.
Young Mr. Jerome Beeson, high school senior, driving the fenderless machinery he put together himself, pulls to a standard stop in the Jack Barber driveway and goes up the back steps.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, Adele. Where's the high IQ?
Janie? Well, she'll be right down. Come on in. She's finishing a précis for Miss Hayden's class. Oh, these are the prom dresses.
Oh, yeah? Who are you going with?
We haven't decided yet. Mom made the dresses early.
Uh-huh. Your dad in?
Evening, Jerry.
Oh, hiya, Mr. Barber.
Hello, Jerome.
Hiya, Mrs. Barber. Well, how's the law business, Mr. Barber?
Oh, we're rocking along. How's school?
Pretty good. I'm first string, first base.
Oh, good for you. Say, Jerry, we were having a little discussion here tonight about the youth center.
Daddy.
What do you think of it?
Well, it's okay. Well, if you get through work and suddenly decide you want a date, it's always crowded with nice little dames.
Janie will be right down. She was studying in her moo-moo, so she wanted to change.
Oh, I could die.
What's a moo-moo?
Well, hers is a terry cloth robe, a pullover. Her grandmother made it. Did you notice the prom dresses in the kitchen? They were finished today.
Janie, hurry up!
Here I am. I'm sorry. I had to finish my précis.
Yeah. I wish you'd worn the moo-moo. I'd like to see one.
Mother, who told him?
Well, I'm going upstairs and finish my homework. What are you going to do, Mom?
We'd better turn in, too, Jack. Good night, Jerome.
Good night, son. Drop in again, anytime.
Yeah, okay, thanks.
Mary Lou, back to your room. This doesn't concern you. Jack, well, now we're going to turn in.
I'll give the triplets 10 more minutes, then we'll call and talk with them home.
Well, won't you sit down?
Thanks, Janie. Somebody told me you got the highest IQ in school.
Let's not talk about that. Going to the prom this year?
Hmm? Oh, well, I don't know yet. I never like to get committed too far ahead in case something better turns up. Like a fishing trip. Say, you know Kenny Boomster? The big, tall, lanky kid just moved from Watsonville? Kind of an apple knocker, but an okay kid.
I don't think I've met him.
Well, he looks kind of awkward and slow, but man, has he got an arm. Coach says he could be big league. Only trouble is he's not sharp in four subjects, see? Well, we combed the cards in the office. You've got the highest grades of anybody in these four dogs he can't understand. So to keep him eligible, would you pry the stuff into his head afternoons between practice and dinner time? Well, you have to work early because he's strict about training. He never dates girls or stays up after 9. I think you could do it, Janie. He's brighter than he looks. We'd have to be. Else how could he play such good ball? Well, say yes. Do it for the team. Huh? How about it?
Well, oh, gee, I'm supposed to hang the prom dresses upstairs in the closet. Did you notice our prom dresses?
Yeah, but what about this deal?
Well, let's both think it over, shall we?
Oh, uh-huh. Well, yeah, I see. How about it, Janie? Will you go to the prom with me?
And a few minutes later, with the sound of Jerry's departure, Sharon races downstairs to find Janie coming back into the living room.
Janie? A date?
Dozens, just dozens every night.
Oh, and the prom, too?
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
Oh, gee, maybe this is another one. I'll get it. Hello?
Has Jack gone to bed, Elizabeth Sheridan?
Yes, he has, Grandfather.
Get him up. Pinky is here. What he has done this time is unforgivable.
I'll tell Daddy, Grandfather.
I want your father to talk to him at once. Make it quick. Good night.
Daddy, put your clothes on. They want you over next door right away. Pinky's done it again.
One Man's Family, which comes to you Monday through Friday, is written by Harlan Ware and directed by Carlton E. Mort. This program has been selected to be heard by our armed forces overseas through the worldwide facilities of the Armed Forces Radio Service. In Chapter 12, Book 134, Rippman on a Boyhood Dream.